Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. I'm your host, Dr. Gwyneth Williams, and we are continuing our year-long series on prayer. We are focusing now on the hindrances to praying and how to overcome. And today, we will see how the Holy Spirit leads, but in the actual outline, we will be talking about some of the spiritual hindrances. We will continue in that vein, and then talking about unwilling to take a step of obedience sometimes, having dry seasons, and we will continue on with, and hopefully we'll get to the mental and emotional hindrances, and that will be our main focus today, the mental and the emotional hindrances to prayer. So we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our lead. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for guiding us, directing us into all truth and giving us wisdom. And we just thank you that everyone who listens to this message, Lord, that they will be inspired, encouraged, and even take a step towards praying more and yielding to your will and to your purposes. So if you have your Bibles, we will look at Matthew 26, and we will read verse 36. Matthew 26 and verse 36. And let's look at it in the Message Bible. How about that today? And we will read to verse 41. Then Jesus went with them to a garden called Gethsemane. And he told his disciples, "Stay here while I go over there and pray." Taking along Peter, the two sons of Zebedee, he plunged into an agonizing sorrow. Then he said, "This sorrow is crushing my life out. Stay here and keep vigil with me." Going a little ahead, he fell on his face, praying, "My Father, if there is any way, get me out of this. But please, not what I want. You, what do you want?" And when he came back to his disciples, he found them sound asleep. And he said to Peter, "Can't you stick it out with me a single hour? Stay alert, be in prayer, so you don't wander into temptation while even knowing you're in danger. There is a part of you that is eager. There's a part of you ready for anything in God. But there's another part that is lazy as an old dog sleeping by the fire." And I think the King James Version says in that part, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." As a recap, some of the spiritual hindrances that try to make our spirit weak is just, you know, unconfessed sins, having lack of faith, where we don't pray because we don't really believe God can do, or that he'll even answer our prayers. We think sometimes that we're not worthy. We don't understand the grace of God. And so we want to make sure that we follow along with God's will and to know that his grace is sufficient for us. I want you to say to yourself that his grace is sufficient for me. So maybe because of unanswered prayer, we've prayed and maybe we even have faith and expected God to act, but say he didn't do it. He didn't act at the time that you expected him to act. But there are specific reasons sometimes for unanswered prayer. And maybe because sometimes you may be in the wrong season, you've bitten off more than you can chew, so to speak. And you're wanting God to do it. And he said, okay, I just want you to do this a little bit at a time, bite-sized faith. And maybe you're just unwilling to take that step of obedience. So that's when you just cry out, okay, God, not my will, but thy will. And in thine will for your kingdom, how do you want this to take place? You know, how do you want it to happen? And so sometimes if we have that unwilling to take a step of obedience and we say, not my will, but thy will, and to go on for a new commitment or sacrifice, then we have that unwillingness. It's going to keep us, it'll keep us from prayer. And so these are the points that we want you to get today. And so we want to just thank you so much for tuning in to Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness. And we're continuing our year-long series on prayer. And we want you to continue to join in for the Lifestyles for a Lifetime Holiness and continue along this season of prayer for over the next year. It's going to be good. It's going to be great. But even focusing on these points of why prayer isn't answered, the lack of faith, or maybe you just don't want to take that step of obedience. So that's what we're looking at. And I want you to get your paper and your notepad down and write down what we're saying, because even today as we go through this, just to continue, you know, salvation is progressive. We're constantly moving toward salvation. We're constantly moving in our prayer life, and we're continuing to pray. We're continuing. We have to be able to manage and to understand and to know. So is it that dry season that you're dealing with? But we want to cry to God and say, God, it's not my will, but your will be done. And in the dry seasons, we pray, and prayers, they may seem that they're in the ceiling. They're not going to go any higher. God, okay, I feel like they're hitting the ceiling. You're not answering my prayers. Like they're not going anywhere. If you're in that dry season, God is wanting you just to hold on and to just wait on him and to listen to what his voice is saying. So we pray, and prayer seems that it's that you don't have, sometimes you're like, okay, look, I don't have a desire to pray. When you don't have a desire to pray, that is a time when you need to pray, because those are the spiritual hindrances. And say, okay, God, I know it's your will for me to pray. As we've read in Matthew 26:39-42, you know, he's saying here, my Father, if there's any way, get me out of this. I read it out of the Message Bible. But please, what I want, but what do you want, God? Even Jesus said that. He even said, okay, look, and I'm sure in this instance, he must have felt like there was a hindrance. Maybe he didn't want to go through this, the scripture says. When he came back to his disciples, and then you don't have anybody praying with you, everybody's sleeping, but God is saying, it's in the back. It's you pressing in. It's you pressing and pushing. And okay, I don't have a desire. There's nothing happening. There's a ceiling there. There's a lid there. But Jesus said, even in these agonizing moments, he said, but God, if it's your will. And if we look back up at 36, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm sure at that point you may feel like you may not have a desire. You may feel like this is too much for you. God, can I get out of it? He said,
stay here while I go over there. And when he went over there to pray, the scripture says that he felt like he was agonizing, that he was in sorrow. He said, this sorrow is crushing my life out. Stay here and keep vigil with me. But he was going through an agonizing sorrow. And let's even look at the King James Version. When we look at it, it states here, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. That's how Jesus was feeling. But it's not what you want. He's like, I only do what I see the Father doing, and then I follow him. God, my will, let it be put down, but your will be done. So if we're unwilling to take that step of obedience, it's like, and I love this analogy of how the Jesus, he's standing there, and he has the little girl, and she's holding on so tight to her little teddy bear. And Jesus is standing there behind him. He has this big teddy bear, but she's like, no, I'm going to hold on to this. This is what I want. But Jesus is like, I just want you to pray. I want you to believe. I want you to pray. I'm going to obey. It's not my will. And then when we release that to God, then he's got something bigger for you. And that's how it was with the little girl. I have something better for you. I have something bigger for you that I want to give you. And Jesus, look, we're the product of the fruit of him laying down his life, that we don't have to agonize because he went through it. He took the thorns around his head. Yes. So we don't have to experience the headache. We can have the mind of Christ. He took the pressure. He took the whips on his back that we could be free of pain. And by his stripes, we're already healed. That's the fruit of obedience. Your obedience can be the result of the next person receiving their ultimate blessing. So I want you just to say, I'm willing, God. Not my will, but your will be done. Take that step of obedience. And unwillingness will keep us from prayer. You know, it's just sometimes we just have to say, enough is enough is enough. I don't care what's going on. I'm putting prayer first. I want you to see this. And say this. It's a privilege. I've been reading so much about the people in other countries that are being persecuted. What about us? We have the privilege to pray. So God is saying, are you willing? Maybe there's that dry season. And in that time, it's time for us to pray. And you're feeling like there's no closeness to God. There's no, why? You might be thinking, there's no sense. Why should I pray? I'm not close. God's not hearing his blood that he shed for you. And then when you examine your heart, in our previous sessions, we talked about spiritual hindrances, unconfessed sins. If you've confessed your sins, and I love sharing that analogy of the child who's on the couch and put chocolate white all over, and the brothers and sisters helped them cover it. And they turned the cushion. And for months, he carried that guilt to his room. When all he had to do was say, Mom, Dad, I got chocolate on the couch. So God said, don't hide. So he hear your prayer. If you are open, he will hear your prayer, if you're open to confess. You may feel like that in this season, that you're going through a wilderness wandering. Took the children of Israel 40 years. God has an 11-day journey for you. But the reason they went through that, because they didn't want to pray. They didn't want to believe. They wanted to do it their way. I did it my way. You know, in the secular world, on a lot of obituaries, that song is on the obituary. I Did It My Way by Frank Sinatra. But I want you to say, not my way, God, but what do you want in your prayers? So in that wilderness wandering, if we just ask God, God, do I go around in a circle, around in a circle, around in a circle? Am I going on a wild goose chase? No, I want to know where you want me to go. I want to know where I'm going, and I want to have direction. And even if you've taken off and the prayer's not answered because you bit off too much, or as the old saying goes, more than you can chew, God, show me bite size so I can get through this wilderness experience, how to get through the wilderness and seeing the forest for the trees, but show me the path and the direction so that I can get out and I can get through this. He has a plan. If you only ask him. Even Jesus, he felt that. He said, oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And the disciples couldn't even stay with him and watch for an hour. So sometimes you may, even as Jesus, be alone. But even as his disciples, he's wanting you to get in your closet and pray. Even if it's a time where you feel like you're in the wilderness warning, a wilderness wandering, and a time of testing. Maybe you feel like you're just hanging on to that naked face there. You're holding on. But God is saying, it's in the press. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. Thanks so much for listening to Lifestyle for a Lifetime. We'll be doing this series for a year, so we really want you to stay with us and stay in tune and have your notebooks and paper, because there's so much that God wants to get you through that wilderness. You may feel like you can't make it, but it's all in your prayer. It's all in you saying, God, what do you want me to do? God, what is your will? And when you say that with everything in you and your heart is saying that, yes, he'll answer your prayer. I remember one time I was a teenager and I was at the altar. I ran down there and maybe 35 people or so were at the altar and several rows behind me. And I didn't even say it out loud. I didn't holler, God, if you're God, show me you're God. I want more. I didn't even say like that. But everything within my being cries out. And I was at the altar, God, if you're God, show me you're God. I want more of you. I want all of you. And when I opened my eyes, I was at the back of the church by the door. It was like I was in a whirlwind and moved me, and I understood the power of how Elijah could be taken up. God's power is real. He's just wanting us to yearn. He'll show you. And I often think about that experience. God wants you to have a supernatural move of God. Maybe not physical like that, but he wants you to know if you cry out to him in the midst of your wandering, in the midst of your journey through life, in the midst of you crying out and saying, God, what do you want? There's times we cry out with God and we wrestle in prayer and we plead our case before the Lord. And, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against those principalities, against those powers, against those spiritual wickedness. And God is saying, continue in the fight, continue in the wrestle, continue to press so that you can receive the abundance of everything he has, so you can receive the blessings. Continue to fight for your salvation of your family and stand on the promises that the scripture in Acts 2 and 38 and 39, it says you and your household shall save. Stand on that for your job, for your finances. He is Jehovah El Shaddai. He has more than enough. Ask him to show you those secret places and those secret treasures where the blessings of God is, because the provision that God has for you shall be seen when you pray for your household too, that the banner over your house be love. Pray and wrestle for the peace of God to be in your house. So when you get up in the morning, that you speak order to your house. You speak order before you go to bed. That he said, whom he loves, he gives rest. You pray that God will just remove the stress. God, not my will, but your will be done. Because God says, those he loves, what? He gives them sleep. Pray that so that you can have the sleep and rest in God. And that the angelic host are around your room so they don't, the demons can't torment you when your mind is on God and his angelic presence. Jehovah Shammah, be there with me so you don't have to wrestle against those principalities and powers. They won't even be able to come against you, but stay in the fight to pray that those things be removed so they can't come near you. So these are the things that will hinder if you don't obey and say, your will be done. If you don't obey and ask God to come in to be your Savior and Lord, not just Lord in your life, but Lord over your life, everything, all-encompassing is what God wants to do. Even Jesus to the cross, he said in his agonizing distress, not what I want, God, but what you want. So these are times that you have to endure. These are times of refining. So don't give up, but persevere and be persistent and discipline yourself. You might say, I know it's God's will for me to read the word that I read 10 minutes a day. God wants you to get in that word. And when you get in that word, you're going to find those nuggets. So obey God. Feed your faith. Starve those doubts. Read the word. I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in to Lifestyle for a Lifetime Holiness. We're continuing our session on why prayers are hindered and praying on how to overcome them. So our point today, we've talked about the spiritual hindrances of unconfessed sin, lack of faith, unwilling to step into obedience, and those dry seasons. Now, this is the part that we want to get to today that we talked about last week, is the emotional side. And we'll cover some of this today. But I want you just to pause. You know, Salah means, oh, think about it. What are some of the emotional things, the emotional hindrances, like maybe feelings that you may have that are hindering you, trying too hard in the flesh? And sometimes it can just be lack of focus, lack of concentration. So let's focus on the first one today. These are some of the things, and I want you just to examine yourself. Do you ever feel like that there's restlessness? Maybe you're going through a time of depression, or maybe you're like, oh, I'm not in the mood. Or you're saying, oh, I need a more convenient time. Or I can't pray until I'm in the spirit. Oh, I can't do that until I'm in the spirit. I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I have to make sure I'm in the flow of God. I had a friend that said, you know what? I'm not gonna do anything with God. I'm not gonna give my life to God until I'm ready. I know that I'm not in the spirit right now. I'm gonna continue to do what I'm doing until I'm in the spirit. God wants you to come as you are, and he'll accept you. And as you lay down your life and do what he's called you to do, then you will flow in the things that God has for you, and you'll receive the blessings, and your prayers will be answered. It's not until you do this, then you do that, because that's what the devil will say. Oh, I'm not good enough. I have to wait till I get to A, do A, B, C, D. God says, no, before you do A, B, C, D, just come as you are. Come before the throne room and just lay there. Come before my feet. Come on your knees. Come and just pray and call. Converse with me. Walk with me. Talk with me. And I'll be there with you. So you don't have to wait, like I have to be in the spirit because I'll be a hypocrite. Don't live by your feelings. Are the weather bad? Or, you know, or some people don't go to church because the weather's bad. Or the enemy, what have you, I can't pray because I have these mental and emotional hindrances. The enemy will tell you anything. I know some people, well, the weather's bad. I can't do this. Or the weather, it affects my mood this way or that way. Despite of whatever season you're in season, out of season, God wants you to pray, whether you feel like it or not. It's my time of the month, or the circumstances are bad. And even the kind of music you listen to, it can affect your feelings. It can affect how you're praying. All this can affect your feeling, but we need to pray the most when we feel like praying the least. I want you to get that. We need to pray the most when we feel like praying the least. So if you don't feel like praying, that's when it's time to pray. I know sometimes we do hundreds of sermons a year. And sometimes I'm like, Lord, we've been up for a few days. And I'll go and I'm like, God, I've studied for 3 hours. I've been in your word. I've been reading. I've been reading my Bible. I've been reading. I've been doing different things. And I just don't know what you want the people that's here tonight. And, Lord, where am I going to strip? Those have been my best messages. And the Holy Spirit has moved. And the strength of God has come upon me like never before. The times I've been maybe hungry or tired, knowing I needed some rest. And I go and go back to the, what? Spirit's willing. The flesh is weak. We read that earlier. The spirit is willing, but the flesh may be weak. You may feel emotionally drained. You may feel mental anguish. But remember, it's a time that you feel like praying the least. It's the time that you feel like pressing forth. It's time that you need to press. That's when you need to pray the most, and that's where your blessing is. I'll never forget one time when I was a teenager and I had caught a cold, and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to stay home from church and lay on the couch and rest. A friend came by, I had invited to church. Because I was evangelizing the neighborhood. I was like, well, I better go. They're here. That dress went, felt so good, and the flu is gone, or whatever it was. Those are the times that you need to, that mental, emotional, don't let that hinder you. Don't let the weather, the time of the month, the circumstances, but pray most when you don't feel like praying. And because feelings are fickle, easily influenced by your health, your moral, the weather, the mood. But prayer is too important, as I close, to be put at the mercy of feelings. So I say to you as we close, be disciplined. Force yourself to do it, like the runner who forces himself to complete a race even with the intense pain, he may have cramps in his stomach. He gives a give that sacrifice of praise to God. So keep running the race. It's not really how fast you go, but that you complete it. So I'm Dr. Gwyneth Williams. Thanks so much for listening to Lifestyles for Lifetime Holiness. We will continue next week with the mental and emotional hindrances. We talked about feelings today. Next week we'll continue with trying too hard in the flesh, lack of just concentration. And then we'll talk about some of the physical hindrances as well as the importance of prayer. So don't be hindered, but walk in the blessings of God. Press through. And remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and spiritual wickedness. So pray that you may obey. And remember today, as we discussed, obedience is so important that your prayers not be hindered. Don't worry about the dry season and the wilderness wandering, but go through and ask God for direction. And be willing and say, not my will, God, but what do you want? And confess your sins. Don't be like a little child who put hands on the cushion and then turned the cushion so their parents couldn't see. Say, God, I've done this. I've messed up. So that you can walk in the blessings. So don't worry about the difficult times for praying. And remember, Satan knows our weakness of our flesh better than we do, and he attempts to capitalize on that. He's a deceiver. Even Jesus, he tried to tempt him on the mountain, but pray and break through, because your breakthrough may be hanging on someone else getting their breakthrough. So pray today in Jesus' name. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time. Success to you. And success to the kingdom. Now listen to this. Don't be just a hearer of the word, but be a doer. So do the word and pray. Amen. See you next time.